Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416. National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
A very good morning, you daily mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from Nakari, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. That's BBM Bumbabrit Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Indigenous Radio Service. You can have your Sabre call us on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. Talk about talk the talk or walk the walk. We're going to catch up a yarn now with Deadly Brother Dominic Moore. Look, 27 years of age, and look, he walked a trek from Melbourne to Brisbane, and kindness of strangers helps this Deadly Brother complete grueling 74-day charity trek. Got him on the line. Dominic, very good morning. How are you?
I'm doing very well, Trev. Thanks for having me on.
No, brother, thank you for coming on. Look, non-Indigenous man walking from Melbourne to Brisbane for the love and respect and kindness and thoughts going out to First Nation people. So tell us about this trek, how it all started, and the reason for doing it there, please, Dominic.
Yeah, so it all started from a dream that I had just one morning when I was in lockdown in Melbourne. And, after waking up, it was just one of those dreams where you just really clear, and I was just so much certainty, and I was like, just this crazy thought that was in my head, and I just dreamt it, and I was like, I'm going to do that. So, 6 weeks later, I was up and had a backpack on my back leaving Melbourne, and away I was going.
And doing the walk. So, like I said, woke up with a thought. Everything starts with a thought, doesn't it, you know? And that's what it's all about. But the thought of walking Melbourne to Brisbane, like 74-day charity trek, that is, but then also doing it barefoot. You started off barefoot. And what was the reason behind that there, Dominic?
Yeah, so that really came about from the last couple of years. I've just really reconnected to nature and just seeing the intuitive power of nature. And that sort of led me to, you know, really want to get behind an Indigenous charity, because over the last couple of years, connecting to nature, then connecting to the Indigenous culture of Australia, which is so intuitively connected to the land.
Beautiful, yes.
And just opening my eyes to that, which just wasn't even, I wasn't comprehensive of that before. Mm-hmm. And so just diving into that and just learning about the culture just really, really inspired me. And I just, on a real level, saw my intuitive powers increase.
Good.
And so really having it barefoot was just having that, you know, straight skin contact.
Well, you put another spin on the so-called go and walk about, and that's exactly what you did, my brother.
Yeah,
you know.
Sure.
So good on you, Dominic. And like, so, 74 days did it take you to walk Melbourne to Brisbane?
Correct.
Yep, okay.
74 days.
So now you walked along as barefoot, but then it got a bit strenuous there on your feet. That you would tell us about the saunas, blisters, and what have you, and then you put shoes on. Yep.
Yeah, correct. Yeah, so I didn't have any shoes with me, but I was carrying like about a 30-kilo pack. Mm. So I think that together with on about day 7, I think it was, the concrete was just so hot that it literally just caused the entire bottom of my foot to blister.
Yeah.
So, and then I was like, yeah, that was sort of like a hard decision where I was like, you know, I really wanted to, you know, continue with my original thought, but then it was like, most important is to complete the mission.
Exactly.
So now it's like, you know, swallow your pride, pivot where you need to, and then keep going.
And the title here is Kindness of Strangers that helped you do that. So tell us about some of the strangers that you came in contact with, and how did they help you, support you, motivate you?
Oh, that was incredible. Like, when I look back on the last 74 days, obviously there was some many, many very low points where I was in high discomfort, and it was literally the contacts that I came across that really pulled me through, and just their level of kindness. Like, the first, like, really amazing bunch of clients was at Golden Beach, where literally just the whole town, as I was driving in, like I had 20 to 30 people in the space of a few kilometers stop to give me a lift, just like, and that just already set the tone for this amazing town. And when I got to town, like, they gave me, you know, a place to stay, a shower, food, for that night and food for the next morning, and the local cafe and restaurant gave it to me for free. And then, you know, they were the first people to put the first $350 worth of donations to the Indigenous Marathon Foundation. And so having different, and that was, you know, that was just the start. And then I had, you know, multiple people along the way give me food and donations to the cause and just getting behind me and so many messages coming through. And just to have a person go from a complete stranger to donating to you, giving you
brotherly love,
and just sharing their stories of, you know, that they've had during their life. Exactly. The conversations were so deep and so raw because I suppose I'm already in this, you know, very vulnerable place.
Mm.
And, those connections, like, I'll just never forget for the rest of my life.
And then if you look at it, the trek is a journey, and that's life. And then we have our ups and downs, and we have our, you know, flat tires, blistered soles, whatever the case may be. But it's about continuing on the journey, and if it don't kill you, make you stronger, so to speak.
100%.
So you're talking about raising funds, raising money for the Indigenous Marathon. And look, big shout out to the Cairns mob, the Indigenous Marathon runners up here. It was only, I got goosebumps. It was only last week I went for a jog around the track with the Indigenous Marathon with my daughter and granddaughter, just to catch up with the mob there. And here we are talking about reason why you did it, talking about raising money and what sort of money you're talking and how much was raised.
Yeah, so we raised, I think it's on $10,400 at the moment.
At the moment, so, fantastic. Yeah, good.
Yeah, so that was just absolutely amazing. Like, it was interesting, like, when I was doing the walk, like, I just literally couldn't concentrate on anything except putting one foot in front of the other. Like, at the beginning of the walk, you know, I was, like, filming a documentary sort of on the way, and then 30 days in, like, you know, the level of exhaustion that I was feeling, I couldn't even focus on anything.
Yeah, gotcha,
and
yeah.
It was interesting because I was like, you know, part of me was like, oh, you know, I've got to focus on the donation. And literally, like, again, being connected to the land, it was just like...
You were only looking and focused on oxygen. Where's the air? My feet.
But it was interesting because, like, intuitively I felt it was just like, you focus on the walk, you complete this, and the donations will come.
Beautiful.
And on the morning of... the last day, I had $1,500 in donations.
Yep.
And then I think it was, you know, I think a lot of people have been following my journey, but they were sort of like, oh, will he complete it, you know? And then once there was that last day and I started to post, by the end of that last day, I was already at like $4,000. And then 2 days later, I was at $10,000.
So
just a massive thank you to everyone who's had me on their podcast.
Yes.
The ABC. To the newspapers that I've been in, to everyone who promoted it, and just a massive, massive thank you to the hundreds and hundreds of people who donated to the Indigenous Marathon Foundation and allow me to achieve my goal. So,
look, really as we say, teamwork makes the dream work, and the supporters, the strangers, in kind, in good heart and good spirit, they were part of the team and made it happen. I want to give a big shout out also to Rob D. Constello, who was the founding director, foundation of the Indigenous Marathon Runners. Have you had communication yarns with him?
I had a chat to him. Yes. 2 days ago, we had a great chat. He thanked me for what he did, and I was able to thank him for just the amazing work that he does and, you know, spreading the incredible Indigenous culture, which has helped me so much in my life.
Beautiful, my brother. That's what it's all about, and look, we are one, we are Australian, and we've got to just get it together, and look, you're doing that, building bridges. That's what it's all about, isn't it, brother?
100%. Couldn't agree with you more.
Dominic, all the best to you. You take care. What's next on the project, on the horizon, brother?
Next challenge is to get my solo skydiving cert. So give my feet a rest for a bit and fall out of the sky a few times.
Sure. Okay, fantastic. Well, big shout out to the skydivers up here in Cairns. They'd love to hear you say that, brother. All the best to you. We'll be in touch, my friend.
Thank you, Restro. Thank you for having me on. Have an amazing day.
You too, brother. Bye-bye.
See you later.
Deadly yarn there. Dominic Moore, his name is. Look, non-Indigenous brother. Walking a trek from Melbourne to Brisbane took him 74 days, all in raising money for the Indigenous Marathon Runners. And he had a chat with Robert D. Constello, the foundation's founder and director, and talked about what he did and the reason why he did it. And he did, at this point in time, has made up to $10,400 going towards that fantastic organisation. organisation. Big shout out to all our Murrays and Noongars and the mob around the country that do that Indigenous Marathon run. And I know the ones here in Cairns, also TI Runners, they all do it fantastic. And Rob DiConsella, you've really changed a lot of people's lives, and the fact that they're getting in moving and getting fitness done, but it helps them in their professional life as well as their family life, healthy living, healthy lifestyle, and getting their thinking right. So look, fantastic. And whatever whatever tool we use to get our thoughts right and get our healthy body running smooth and deadly, that's what it's all about. But look, have your say, add to the conversation here on National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
I don't know. get on your mouth. It's me, Bush Tucker Bungie, and you're listening to the National Talk Black program. Makaran.
National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
Yeah, too deadly. That deadly number again is 1-800-422-416. Give the Murray a call. The Murray is the bully one. Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. I'm your host for your daily program, National Talk Black. Come to you live on First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. BBM Bumbleberry Media, 98.7 FM. Go across the nation. Thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. Give me a call. Have your say. National Talk Black, too deadly. We're going to catch our beautiful lady from WA, our beautiful friend on the line. Sister, we've got Samantha. Samantha, good morning. How are you?
Good, buddy. All the better for listening to you.
How are you, darling? Thank you for coming to the program. Now, you had a medical appointment there yesterday, did you?
Yes.
How are you travelling?
Everything was fine. It was wonderful.
Good.
I told them, you're the best medicine.
You mob listening? Hear what Samantha's saying. I'm the best medicine. So tune in to BBM and 98.7 FM with National Talk Black. Sister, we're yarning, 82 years old, that's correct?
Yes, that's true.
And you were talking the other day about, elders being vulnerable with this pandemic. You choose not to take the vaccine, is that right?
Yes, because, Trevor, I honestly believe in prior years I've always had the injections and I've always had side effects from them.
Okay.
Now, I want to know how they can honestly say it took such a short time for them to develop it, and then they want to release it to the general public. I do not believe everything they say.
Sure.
All I'm saying is they should try it on themselves first before they give it to the general public.
So you don't want to be a guinea pig, Samantha?
I do not want to be a guinea pig, but I wholeheartedly believe that all the government and the people that are saying it's safe, use it.
Sure.
Go for it.
And you're saying each to their own. If you feel as safe and you're concerned, then take the vaccine. If not, then we'll choose not to, is what you're saying.
That's right.
Yeah,
yes.
You're choosing not to.
Yes, I'm going to because I believe that it's no time passed. And it hasn't. How in the world can they say that it took a certain amount of years before they passed the previous ones?
Hmm.
This is ridiculous. What do they think? We're all idiots. I mean, I may be 82,
yes,
but I've still got all my faculties.
Yes. Yeah, fantastic. Like I said, it is your choice. With yourself, you live in WA. Are you in Perth?
I'm in a place called Armidale.
Armidale.
So,
as a small township?
I tell you what, Trevor, that program is absolutely wonderful. I don't change the dial, I just listen. It's my wake-up call in the morning.
Good, lovely.
And I go to sleep with it at night. It's wonderful.
That's fantastic. So the small township, you're not out and about then, are you, much?
Oh, no, I'm not.
So that's your best medicine as well, by not out there mingling with the public. If you decide not to take the vaccine, then you're staying at home or staying within your small environment there.
Well, my son, John, he's my carer. He does everything for me, and he won't let me go out.
So. Big shout-out, John. He's looking after you.
He certainly is.
He's your vaccine.
No, he's not going to even take the vaccine. He doesn't believe
He chooses not to as well.
He's a healthy young man, believe me.
And how old's John?
He is 64.
64, all right. So keeping you focused with your beautiful life and longevity
yes,
is what we're looking for, aren't we, Samantha?
Yes, we are. You know, we're very lucky in this country, Trevor.
Yeah.
This is God's country as far as I'm concerned.
Yes.
And you know, Trevor, I discovered something the other day when I was listening to the program.
Mm-hmm.
The gentleman who does the language section.
Okay, yes. We have plenty of those
language,
happening. Yep.
Your language is like my father's. He's Maltese.
Yes, you mentioned this before, yes. Similarity.
It's incredible.
Very similar.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
It's just incredible. I wouldn't miss the program. It's wonderful.
Yeah, good. So you're picking up some words there, and then you're taking it back to your father's country.
Yes.
Beautiful. Good. And that's about all communication, isn't it?
Oh, it is. It is.
And we are all students for life, aren't we?
Love for our fellow man. This is what I was always taught from an early age.
Yes. Yeah, good teachings back then, and sad, a lot of that's gone out the window, especially a lot of our young ones, you know. They're too busy on Facebook, or I call it Sookbook, you know,
that's
big face.
Yes, I won't go
and
on
social media, and social media, and they're missing the true yarns from our elders.
Yeah, absolutely, and this is what the elders, my gosh, they've got all the knowledge. This is why I can't understand, Trevor.
You are the encyclopedias.
Yes, but why isn't it taught in the school?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, when I was at school, what they taught was French.
Yeah.
And you know, French has got so many dialects. The ones that they taught in school was useless to you if you went to France. Because
well, exactly.
So why isn't your language taught? It'd be more useful for us.
Yeah, look, and our culture, you know,
and
very powerful.
Culture, oh my gosh, I tell
family,
you
family, gathering, yeah, togetherness, spiritual.
Yes, absolutely. And this is what I believe that you have the secret to that. It's togetherness and being together for all your family. Yes.
Yeah, beautiful. Well, they say blood's thicker than water, and look, we strongly believe that.
Well, it definitely is. But you know, Trevor, no matter what nationality you are, if you cut yourself, you'll bleed red.
Well, exactly. Exactly. Simple, isn't it?
It is. It is very simple. Trevor, I know I'm taking up your time.
Great talking with you.
You are my medicine.
Thank you, darling.
I wanted to tell you that.
All the best. Beautiful lady, thank you. And a big shout out to your beautiful son there, John.
Yeah, I certainly will. He'll be listening to you.
Thanks, darling. Take care, Sam. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, darling.
Beautiful yarn there, Samantha from WA, regular caller and a loyal listener over there in WA, and loves tuning into not only this program but First Nation radio stations across this country. So hooked on to NIRS, NIRS, National Indigenous Radio Service, and all the different programs that come out through that deadly network. And we're one of them. So Too Deadly, stay tuned and add to the conversation, 1-800-422-416, National Talk Black with the Bally Run, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from Macquarie, and live from First Nation radio station here in Cairns. That's BB and Bumba Brit Media, 98.7 FM, and across the nation, thanks to NIRS, National Indigenous Radio Service. Give me a call, let's have a yarn. Too Deadly.
Don't you worry about what people say. Loud.
My name's Jared Harbrow from the Gold Coast Suns. You're tuned in to National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
1-800-422-416.
Yeah, don't be shy. You might give the Murray a call, 1-800-422-416. If you're on the shy side, you can text the brother 045-714-0550 and our Facebook page as well, BBM987FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service, and we're live at the First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns, BBM Bumbabrip Media, 98.7FM, and a voice for our people, so do utilise it. The Yarning Circle it is. A big shout-out to Emily, who called in and didn't speak on air, but just spoke that likes to listen to the show. Big shout out, Emily. Very good morning to you. And just to have her 2 cents worth regarding the vaccine, we're talking to beautiful Samantha from WA, who's chosen not to take and take the vaccine. It's not compulsory, so it's an individual's choice. And Emily said that apparently, well, of course, over the last 12 odd months, they've been working on the vaccine. So it just didn't come overnight, what she wanted to put across the airwaves. And so I've done that. So yeah, that's it. They do their bit. And Samantha feels that she doesn't want to be a guinea pig for the so-called vaccine. 82 years old, her choice, and her beautiful son, John, is looking after her, and he's chosen not to take it either. So either way, there it is, but do your research, and we've got the rights to decide what goes in our body, is the other conversation I was having that with Senior Constable Nicole O'Rourke from the Edmonton Police, who's come to join me in the studio and brought her bodyguard. That's Steve Grant. Stephen Grant's a PLO, Police Liaison Officer, and come to join us here in the studio for Which Way Yarn In segment, proudly sponsored by IGA Piconi. That's Brinsmead in Edmonton. They give us a box of fruit here once a week, Bummer Bip Media, and with their school-based training ship, we talk about healthy living, healthy lifestyle. Yes, chew on a banana rather than a picnic or Kit Kat. There it is. Guys, hello to these beautiful people. Come to join me, and a very good morning. We have Nicole and Steve. Very good morning. How are you guys?
Good, thank you. Good morning to you.
Good morning. Steve,
good morning,
how are you, brother?
How are you? Good, thanks.
Yeah, I'm well, brother. Police Liaison Officer. Let's go with beautiful Nicole first. She's prettier than you, Steve.
Thank you, Nicole.
Who are your mob? Where are you from?
I'm from Yindinji Nation. My grandparents on my mum's side were born and raised in Yarraba.
Big shout out. Good morning, Yarraba. Yep.
Good morning, Nana, as well. and Grandad died almost 25 years ago, but Nana's still alive and she lives over at she's over at Gordonvale there, so not far from Cairns.
Okay, lovely.
A spot there where we still go back to regularly.
Beautiful.
Oh, it's lovely.
Which is important. Yeah. Steve, who are your mob? Where are you from, brother?
I'm from the Jidawal mob in the Tully, Murray Upper, Cardinal and Mission Beach area.
Yep, the wettest town in Australia, the big gumboot.
That is correct. good to be back again.
Yeah, good, brother. Because you did a stint down at Cherbourg.
That is correct.
And big shout-out to Cherbourg mob.
Big shout-out to the Cherbourg mob there and my good friend there, Victor Alberts. Okay. Hope you're listening.
Victor Alberts, too deadly. Fantastic. Big shout-out mob down there. So, Which Way Yarning, a very important conversation where we catch up with the boys and girls in blue and nothing beats black on black and hear a black radio announcer talking to two beautiful black officers. Yeah, I just called you beautiful, Steve. You like that, bro?
You're beautiful.
You're lovely. And just yarning up strong about what's happening out there. We're talking off air there, Nicole, about Facebook. I call it Sook Book.
Yeah.
Big face.
Winge Book.
Yeah, thank you. And really, I don't care what you're eating. Yeah. Let's take a shot of that. But look, it's a powerful tool in communication, but it can be a strong Chinese whisper.
Yes.
And you were just saying, don't always believe what you read.
It's, and we find it a lot. It happens to be the source of a lot of people's tensions. Things are put on to social media out of anger, and when things are done like that, things are rushed, they're not thought through properly, because they are keyboard warriors, people will just blurt out what's on their mind without any regard for how it affects other people out there, and then they just move on. And if you're reading something, if you're reading something that you're feeling affected by, then you've got a couple of choices. You can either respond to it or ignore it.
And delete.
What did we learn when we were growing up going to school? Our parents we'd be getting bullied.
Mm, well, exactly.
Our parents would just say, just ignore it. Or if it got a bit too bad, they'd give us some advice, tell us what to do, and then but we still had to just go and ignore it.
Yeah,
was
sure.
The, was the thing. So everything that's out there does not require a response.
Exactly, exactly. And the old phrase, all the water in the world won't sink a ship if it doesn't get inside you.
Yeah.
So we've got to block it out and ignore all the negativity, so to speak, you know.
Yeah.
Obviously, if you decide to do something in life, people are going to talk about you. If you decide not to do it, people are going to talk about you.
People are going to talk anyway. About you, whether you're doing good, bad, in between, doesn't matter. People are going to talk. It just it comes down to you and your resistance, or your resilience rather, to how you're going to deal with it.
Well, so you can vaccinate the negativity.
Yes.
You know, you can sort of delete or unfriend somebody if they're feeling, if they're talking negative or talking, putting you down, or
block them.
Yeah, block them, whatever, you know.
Yeah.
There's ways you can do that. So, I mean, you can have your Facebook page. This is my positive Facebook page. This is my positive input.
Yes.
So if the negative input, I can delete the, the message or delete the person, unfriend the person.
I'm not on any social media. Like, I have a look at a few.
Oh, I was Googling you, Mob. Where are you, Bill?
Can't find
I'm
going to
borrow 20 if you would. No, can't find them.
I don't want to be bothered with. If someone has an issue with me, that's not my business. That is
them.
Thank
you. That's right. That's right.
And if they, if someone wants to have a go at me or have it out with me, well, don't let fear stop you. Come and talk to me.
Yeah.
Nothing's going to get sorted out by smashing out a few sentences on a keyboard.
Well, they won't, because you've got a gun there. Shut up, police officer. I'll just badmouth on Facebook and hide behind that.
Well, if that's your go, if that's your game, you want to just do it on Facebook and think that's going to be the end of it, well, you're wrong. It's not going to sort anything out. So to me, if someone's having a go at you on Facebook, it's really none of your business.
Yeah.
Even though it's about you, that's
well,
their
that's
opinion.
There's another phrase with that. Someone else's opinion of you
is not your business.
Is not your business,
no.
Exactly. You know,
yeah.
And someone else's opinion does not have to become your reality as well, you know.
Yeah, and if you choose to consume yourself in that rubbish, you are going to feel very negative and run down by it.
Exactly. They say opinions like armpits, we all got them, they usually stink.
Yeah, stinky.
Stinky winky, stinky winky. Steve, what about you, my brother? Are you on Facebook?
No, I'm not on Facebook, Trevor, but exactly what Nicole just said, you know, a positive outcome is better than better than a negative outcome.
Yes.
Like I said, I'm not on Facebook, so I don't take part of any in that social media thing.
Yeah.
So
you're not a part of it.
No. So it's just good old watching the news and reading the paper and things like that, and sticking to yourself.
Sure. Yeah. Like I said, it's sometimes good too. You can catch up with old friends and you know, and photos and you know. But
there's a reason why my past is where it is.
Yeah, thank you. There you go. Oh, hello, don't you? All skeletons in the closet, leave them there.
And like, thank goodness Facebook wasn't around when I was growing up, because the things that could have gone on, you know, I'm not saying I did bad things.
Sure.
But we've all done those, you know, taking mum and dad's car for a drive when you shouldn't have. And, you know, the way you're learning your boundaries as you get, like, when you're a teenager and in high school. So things like that is... Who wants that? Who wants a reminder of that?
Exactly. There's always, but speaking of Facebook, I didn't mention Facebook earlier because there was some mention of carjacking going on. Guys and girls in blue, you would know the beach street, so to speak. Is carjacking rising in this country? Up this way? Cairns, Far North Queensland?
Okay, so I haven't looked at any figures or any stats or anything, but I have not heard of the carjackings going on. So if there's a report of it and it's been happening, I'm not aware of it. And that's – so me not being aware of it is not to say it hasn't gone on, but I'm quite sure and I'm quite confident that I would be aware of it if it were happening.
And if people are that way inclined or feeling a bit nervous about it, then lock your cars when driving around?
Yep.
You know?
And it's not to scare people from driving around or driving in the dark or things, because people have to. You have to drive around all times of the day.
Exactly.
But just be conscious. Like, I think, does that look like an unsafe situation if you...
If you're coming up to lights, red lights, and there's a group of young ones standing around there right at the lights,
drive
look a bit sus.
In a different direction. You know, do things to protect yourself and your family. Lock your car doors and things like that. So...
Yep.
Don't drive around windows down through sketchy kind of streets or past sketchy kind of drive. groups and things like that. Just common sense, really.
Exactly.
Yeah, so I have not, I can't comment on that one without having, haven't seen anything.
Just me again on Facebook, and I just saw something then, so I just thought I'd bring that up.
Yep.
But don't believe everything you read.
This is right.
Hence, I'm asking a question.
Yep, that's it.
Getting educated on the situation. Yeah, so look, very important. In regards to PLO, there you go, Steve. How long you been a PLO?
I've been in the job for the last 17 years.
17 years.
So I started off here in Cairns.
Yeah.
Did a rotation up here.
17 years. That's, like for any job, being there that long, you know, that's a fantastic task that you've achieved, you know. And so for the long haul, you're happy doing what you're doing?
Yeah, like I said, I've been in the job for 17 years. I've done a rotation in Dolby and the last 3 years of rotations in the Sherbourne-Murgon area.
Yes.
And I decided to come home after a seven-year stint being away.
Yeah, good. And with that transfer back this way, was that easy to do? You just put in a transfer, and is it confirmed that you'll get the transfer, and is it back home to where you want to be? How do they confirm that, yes, you'll get the transfer that you've requested?
Well, at the time, my former colleague, Robbie Hollingsworth, brother.
Big shout out, Rob.
Big shout out to Robbie. I found out that he was not with the job anymore. So
there's a position available. So you applied for his position.
There's a vacancy available here in Edmonton.
Okay.
I submitted an application and I was the successful
applicant. Okay. Do you know how many other applicants went for that job?
Not to my knowledge, no.
No, okay. Well, you got it anyway.
Yeah, that's right.
You might have been the only one.
Possible.
Or we could say 40,000 people applied for it and you got the job, brother. You the man.
Possible.
We'll run with that scenario, the last one. 40,000 applicants and you got the job, brother. With yourself, Nicole, you're, how long you been at the force?
It'll be 16 years.
16 years. Watch you two racing each other.
Mm.
16 years. And you were talking about off air that you're full time.
Yes, so within government agencies, you can do what's called flexible work agreements. Submit,
okay.
It's a proposal of how you need to work to suit your home life.
Okay.
And so my home, I work only a few days a week, so because I'm at home with my kids on my own.
Okay.
And as we know, that's the most hardest.
So how
job
long have you been working in that position?
So I've been working in these flexible hours for since July.
Since July, and that's working for you?
Yeah, that's working for me. I still come to work, and then when I finish work, my real job starts.
Yes,
my
mother,
being a mum
forever. Yes,
and then I race around and do everything that the kids need doing.
Yep,
you know,
good.
Making sure we got bread, milk, and
do the mother thing.
Do
most
the
important
mum
role
thing.
And person job, and important job on planet Earth.
And then run them around because they got better social lives than what I do.
Oh, hello.
Yeah, and
there
then
you, go.
You know all their little.
How old them kids?
5 and 6.
5 and 6. Going on 25 and 26.
Yes.
Don't tell me about
boats.
Yeah,
well, my daughter, I'm pretty sure I've got a teenager in the house already.
There you go.
You know,
right.
Oh, my goodness.
So it's good to have that flexibility and have that balance in life, you know.
And that's what the whole idea was behind it, is to have a work-life balance.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
And it's fantastic that the Queensland Police came to your aid.
Yes.
Well, in that support and that idea. It's a proposal. You put the request in, like Steve did for his transfer, for those hours, flexible hours, and it came up thumbs up.
Yeah. So, and that's the thing with the QPS. I've only ever experienced it, but to be supportive for me,
good.
Over the years. So, I'm pretty quite confident. I can say that I can look back and say there have been a few things that have gone on where the QPS has been nothing but supportive.
And I think for you, you've done your yards because you're saying that 16 years you've been in the job. So just last July, so it's coming up to 15 years you've been in a job when you put that so-called application for that flexible time. And it's good that they accommodate you because the fact that you've done your yards, you know what I mean? And they want to reward you or, you know,
and they
working
know,
with you.
Like the thing is that a police officer is not made overnight. You
sure.
know, a police officer needs experience. You need to know and to talk into different people and how people react and just all the human emotions that come with what our job involves. You don't want to lose experienced officers because you can't accommodate for something that's out of their control at home.
Sure,
and
exactly.
And this is another way that they're trying to, we have a thing called our people matter.
Okay.
And this is a part of this initiative where our people do matter to us. We need to make sure that they've got home and work-life balance. So that's
exactly
what this is. And they know I'm not, my kids will grow up and they won't need me as much
as
what
they are. And you can come back doing the full-time work if you want to.
And I come back and do full-time work.
Yeah,
so exactly. It's not forever.
I love that. Fantastic. Yeah. Hey, look, great to catch up with you guys. All the best to you.
Thank you.
This is the Which Way Yarning segment, proudly sponsored by IGA Bocconi with Edmonton Police. Big shout out to Senior Sergeant Glenn Delay.
Yep.
Big shout out to Lad and all the mob there at Edmonton Police. Doing a fantastic job, and thanks for communicating with us here on Which Way Yarning.
Thank you for having us.
All right,
thank
Nicole.
You.
Take care.
See you
right?
next week.
Too deadly. All right, beautiful yarn there, Which Way Yarning. Like I said, proudly sponsored by IGA Bocconi. Brinsmead, Edmonton, give us a box of fruit here once a week with Bomo Bipper Media. Healthy living, healthy lifestyle. Stay tuned. Add to the conversation, 1-800-422-416. National Talk Black with the Bully Run. Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, taking right up to 12 noon Queensland time. 9 minutes. Have your say, you mob. 1-800-422-416. Good morning, Yarrabah. Hope you're well. That's Dennis Rose here on your daily program, National Talk Black, with that daily track, Yarrabah. Here live at First Nation Radio Station, BBM, Bumma Brit Media, 98.7 FM. Trendy Trevor and Mike going to catch up with someone online. Very good morning, my brother. How are you?
Yeah, good morning, Yarrabah. First off, brother, can I have that text number again?
Yeah, text number 045-714-0550. You got that?
Yes, sir. Yeah, brother.
Good brother.
I told you on about how in the early 80s I had a manuscript of poetry, and I wanted to compliment the photos of me, and I went to a cop shop to ask for a mugshot of me when I was 19 in Darwin, and they instead told me I had to go and see a bloke named Darrell Mandy. He became a politician up there, but at the time he was a police public relations officer. This segment you said on this, the kind of line up for me, brother, because I'm on Facebook too.
Yep.
But anyway, he told me that a police public relations officer's job is to foster good relationship between the police and the public.
Yes.
And that's exactly what the segment does. And one of the things that, you know, there is
just a question. Did you get your mugshot there?
No. I had a warrant up for me. a warrant of consent when I went and
okay.
I told him my body name.
Yes.
And the I went back to school, and the courier at the transfer had to pay for it. And I stole a carton of beer, brother, at $7 at the time. And I of all places, the culture was strong up there in Darwin, brother. I was at what they called the Bamboo Lounge at the back of the Don Hotel. I was using language, brother, but I was using another kind of...
another kind of language.
yeah, brother. But anyway, I get on Facebook and... the constant attack on us collectively on our ethnicity, and some of the language that is the anger in there, and I thought, for instance, the bloke that got stabbed here, the copper, it was a white fella, Gender Morrow O'Shane, that fellow, he was a white fellow, Michiko Shokuyama, that was a 6-year-old white boy. Mm. But he didn't run up on Reservoir Road. It was a white boy, that little boy going up, a little 9-year-old boy going through, you know, at a bag of lolly. And it didn't run down the cave. It was a white fella. Jason Tyler, all white fella, and that one was drug-related.
Mm.
And my elephant in the room was who's selling the drug, methamphetamine. You know how people are not into drug love. Mm. But, I was thinking, because a lot of stuff to go on in these two Facebook sites, and, of course, people put the bullet in the gun and want others to pull the trigger. And there's a lot of fruitcake out there. The example was that vigilante fella that killed that white, that white woman there. It wasn't a black woman that killed that white woman down in Townsville, with people taking it in law into their own hands.
Mm.
And, you know, Chris Haley, he got done for that for police pursuit, because that's illegal to do that. And the Gold Coast, he done that too, chased another white woman. It's illegal to do that. But, I was going to give him the text number and tell him, this is segment. And before, we used to have a theme, Monday, used to be David Dryden. Tuesday was Senator Kess from TI issues. Wednesday was education. Thursday was, I think, positive days. And Friday was Funny Friday. But I thought Thursday was, like to have teams. But probably if people did text you or call in, there's a lot of anger there, brother. I'm on a Townsville crime site. And the town, Cairns one. And if you don't say nothing, like I say, silence is consent. And I do say, if you're going to speak up, and one of the, I often channel Brother Chris Graham.
Yes.
And one of these things is, if you want to, one of the best ways to fight racism is to mirror back their own double standard, their own hypocrisy. And I do that, brother.
Hmm.
And
fire with fire, so to speak.
But just as an example now, but those crime, those white crime done by, and brother, there's a Brisbane Riverside white youth gang down there, and they make the black ones up here look like preschoolers. Mm. And the 7-year, I don't know if he was a Northside Riverside white gang, North Brisbane, that killed the couple, that they were parents to be. I don't know if he was, but a lot of crimes. I mean, a lot of horrific crime done by white. You know, these children's backpackers, bloody Snowtown and Whiskey Go-Go. I could go on and on, brother.
Yes.
But the thing is, brother, what bloody, I feel like swearing, shift me off. Their white ethnicity is not, I feel like bloody swearing, never attacked.
Control.
You know why it's not attacked? Because they allowed their humanity, the individualism that they allowed to say, yeah, but they're different, but not with us, brother.
Mm.
And that's why I was going to direct some of the traffic.
Yes.
And because they foster, your segment there, I foster a good relationship between the police and the public. And with black folks, there's a lot of racism out there, brother. And I just thought I'd let you know.
Thank you for sharing, brother.
I'll give them the text number and I'll give them the toll-free number.
Lovely.
So they can call in, and have a yarn. And I like Glenda. Glenn, I can't spell his last name.
Deloy.
And big thumbs up to them, Glenn. And I like your yarn there, Glenn. And I like Brother Robin Ollingsworth's initiative. Thank you very much, brother. Okay, brother, I'll finish now.
Thank you, Selwyn. Too deadly. Great to have Selwyn back on the airways. Haven't heard from the brother from a while. You can do the same by adding to the conversation 1-800-422-416. But you may have to do it another day because Murray's going to sign off here. Thank you very much for your company. Look, stay black, stay deadly, stay strong. More importantly, stay safe. We are still in the pandemic and it's about looking after ourselves and after our families. Too deadly, Mob. Take care.
You told my people that your system was best. We have come to believe that. And now you say that you were wrong. And we were wrong to believe you.
Swap me, bit different yours. We live on the same land, but we got different laws. We're forced to go and learn a different way. Your culture's so strange. Can you hear when we say?